Reading is from Psalm 46, beginning at the first verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at the 18th verse. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was just the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. And that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have not been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for standing for the reading of the gospel.
He went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you began to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us, then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you are with us. And we ask now, Lord, that you'd speak your word to us, that we would hear your word and it would bear fruit in our lives, all to your honor and glory. Amen. Please be seated. Like I am stepping out this morning, at least into personally uncharted territory on this one. Many of us have our favorite parts of the Bible. There may be a particular book or a particular section that you're just grabbed by and you especially appreciate. When I first started reading the Bible on my own as a child, I was drawn in by the gospel according to Matthew, which still to this day has a very warm place in my heart for the way that God got a hold of me through it. But there may also be parts of the Bible that we find less appealing for whatever reason. I was just talking this past week to a very faithful Bible reader who said that the prophets of the Old Testament are especially challenging for her. For others, it's books like Leviticus, with all of its very graphic laws about sacrifices and body fluids and all sorts of interesting things. For me, honestly, the book of Psalms has always been hard for me. Now, I somehow feel like less of a Christian for even admitting that, because I know that that is such a wonderful book for so many people. But personally, I have preached just about twice as many sermons on Leviticus than the Psalms, because I sort of try not to go there when I can. Some of you, I know, find the Psalms to be some of the most wonderful and meaningful and encouraging books of the Bible, and that's wonderful. I know that the Psalms are some of the most significant writings in the history of the church. I know they're the basis for so much of the wonderful songs that we sing. I know all of that. I get that. But they're poetry. I don't get poetry. I have always struggled with poetry. I know that poetry teaches us things, and it shows us things, and it gets us to experience them and get in the middle of them and feel the reality in certain ways, and I just don't usually get it. When it comes to those sorts of feelings that we're supposed to have when we read good poetry, I feel a bit like Ron Weasley in one of the Harry Potter movies, where Ron and Harry are talking about a teenage girl that they do not understand what she's doing and what she's going through. And then Hermione, a girl, speaks to them and says, "Don't you understand how she must be feeling? Well, obviously she's feeling sad about Cedric, therefore confused about liking Harry, guilty about kissing him, conflicted because Umbridge is pressing to sacrum him from the ministry, and frightened about failing her OWLs because she's busy worrying about everything else." And Ron, what I feel, says, "No one person could feel all that. They'd explode." Now, you may love the Psalms, and that's wonderful, but if you're like me, immersing yourself in a poem all week might be tough, and that's okay. Still do it. Now, I say all that to both encourage you that it's okay for parts of Scripture to be harder for you, to be less naturally appealing, but also to challenge you to read and immerse yourself in the parts that might be tougher for you. And while the Psalms are still not my favorite, I did find remarkable encouragement and challenge as I read and pondered Psalm 46 so much this week. And so I hope you find it to be that as well. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Psalm 46, which was read today. Psalm 46. Now, Psalm 46 is broken up nicely into three stanzas, and so we're going to look at each one of those in turn. And I've given each one of them a title, which I provided on the back of your bulletin as fill-ins, because some of you said how much you loved fill-ins last time we did them. I gave them to you again. So the three stanzas of Psalm 46. In the first stanza, which is the first fill-in on the back of your booklet, verses 1 through 3, God in the midst of trouble. God in the midst of trouble. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Do you hear the seriousness of the problem? Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble. The earth and the mountains are the epitome of stability. They are not supposed to move. They're supposed to stay put, stay stable, but the description here is that the most stable things in the world are shaking and moving underneath our feet. Nothing is as it be. Everything is starting to fall apart and shaking. I remember the first time I was in an earthquake. I was on a mission in the mountains of the rainforest in Costa Rica, right on the border of Panama. And I was in a very small, rickety church. And definitely one that you would not expect to make it through an earthquake. And we were in that building, and everything started shaking. And I mean, everybody bolted out of the room because, for good reason, afraid it was going to fall on top of them. And I experienced, just for a brief moment, what Psalm 46 is getting at. Everything is shaking. Everything is about to fall apart. Not the way it's supposed to be. Now, in the ancient Israelite way of thinking, mountains and earth are the most secure and immovable things. That's the epitome of stability. The earth and the mountains don't move. I mean, I know earthquakes and such, but they stay put. They don't move. The sea, on the other hand, the other thing that the psalmist brings up, the sea was viewed as the most menacing and chaotic and restless thing in the world. And so the picture here is that the immovable things are quaking and shaking, and the terrifying and volatile things are getting worse. That's the picture of what's going on. Everything is going wrong and is about to fall apart. And so the psalmist says, in the midst of that, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's just mentioned the real and scary trouble, and God is in the midst of that as our refuge. God is present in the midst of the trouble of the worst kind. God is present and in control even when it appears that everything else is the worst it could possibly be. God is our refuge. When everything else is shaken, God is our refuge. When family life is broken up, God is our refuge. When the political scene concerns us, God is our refuge. When violence is prevalent, God is our refuge. When we have no idea how we're going to make it through, God is our refuge. And as the psalmist says in verse 2, therefore, we will not fear. It's not we don't fear because, the trouble's not so bad. It's not we don't fear because the pain somehow isn't real. It's we don't need to fear because God is our refuge. And He is not movable. Even though the earth and the mountains move and the seas foam and roar, God remains steadfast. And we can trust in that. And we need not fear. God is present in the midst of trouble. And then we come to the second stanza, verses 4-7. And I've titled this one, God in the Midst of His People. God in the Midst of His People. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage and the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is present and in control in the midst of His people. Now notice, the end of verse 3 is all about waters roaring and foaming and swelling up, and then verse 4 says that in the midst of all of that, there's God's river, which flows and makes glad. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. In the midst of cosmic upheaval, God brings gladness and peace to His people. Because, as verse 5 says, God is in the midst of His people. God is right there with His people in their chaos. Now, of course, at the time this was written, the author had in mind the city of Jerusalem when he speaks of the city of God. That's what he has in mind. But we know from the New Testament that the city of God is no longer just the physical city, Jerusalem. It's no longer just the nation of Israel. The city of God is God's people, Jew and Gentile, all who turn to Christ in faith. The city of God is God's people, united to God in faith. Israel is not the city of God. America is not the city of God. We are the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. And because God, our refuge and strength, is in our midst, then we will not be shaken. It says that God is our help when morning dawns. And that phrase, when morning dawns, looks back to other places in the Bible. For example, Exodus 14:24, where God saved his people in a miraculous, incredible way when morning dawned. If you remember in Exodus 14, God's people have just come through the Red Sea. He's parted the sea and he's brought his people safely through it. And then the Egyptians are chasing after them through the sea to come after them. But it says, when morning came, God released the waters and protected his people and cut off and even drowned the Egyptians that were pursuing God's people. The point is, God is in the habit of saving his people. Even when it looks like there is no way out, even though the nations rage, wars are fought, politics are messy, violence is prevalent, God speaks, and the earth melts away. The Lord of hosts acts, and world powers are defeated. And God is here called the Lord of hosts. Think back to the event in the life of Elisha, the prophet, in 2 Kings chapter 6. Do you remember this? This is when he's in a city and the Syrian army comes and surrounds the city. And he wakes up in the morning and his servant looks out and sees this vast army around the city, and the servant panics. And Elisha says, "Look again. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And at that time, God opens the servant's eyes to be able to see the spiritual reality of what's really there, and he sees that the mountains are full of chariots of fire. And then God works a tremendous miracle in saving them from the hand of this enemy army. The Lord of hosts is the God who has the hosts of heaven, the armies of heaven, at his call. As the popular Chris Tomlin song says, "The God of angel armies is always by my side." And that is exactly right. As verse 7 says, "The Lord of hosts is with us." And remember one of the titles of Jesus, Emmanuel. God with us. God himself became one of us to be with us, to die on our behalf, to rise again, to defeat the cosmic powers in this world that would enslave us and keep us from him. The Lord of hosts, that Lord, became a baby. The God who speaks and the earth melts away became a child and had to learn how to speak. That God is with us and gives us his Spirit to lead us to him and to empower us. And so, because the Lord of hosts is with us, it says we can be glad. We don't have to pretend that the danger isn't real. We don't have to act like everything is fine. The nations do rage. The kingdoms of this world do totter. Wars do happen. Families do fall apart. People do hurt us. But the Lord of the heavenly hosts is with us, and therefore we can be glad. God is present in the midst of his people. And the third stanza, verses 8 through 11, I've titled, "God Exalted in the World." God exalted in the world. Verse 8, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is present and in control in a troubling world, and God will be exalted in this world. He says, come see in what God has done. He's done it before, and he will do it again. He will rescue his people, even if it doesn't look like that's even possible at the moment. He makes war cease. He shatters the tools of violence and brings peace. The nations fight and roar, and they look like they're swelling up, ready to foam over, and God speaks his word, and they just melt away. In the midst of the upheaval of cosmic forces of evil against God's people, he steps in and declares to them, be still, stop it. I will be exalted in the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. They roar and foam and bring violence and destruction, and God speaks his word and says to them, be still. Remember when Jesus was in the boat with his disciples, and the storm rose, and they were terrified, thinking they were going to die. And Jesus, the Lord of hosts, God incarnate, speaks to the literal storm, the literal waves, and says, peace, be still, and they were. That's what's going on here in Psalm 46. In the midst of a world that is storming and scary, God speaks his voice, God speaks his word, and everything gets calm. He shows his power over the powers of this world, and they melt away at his rebuke. God says, I will handle this. I will put your roaring and foaming to an end. I will be exalted in this world despite your roaring and foaming against me, he says. God says, I am God, and you are not. Be still and clearly know that I, not you, am God. My poor wife regularly just listens to me process what I'm learning and thinking about sermons and such, and she's very loving and listens to me and tells me when I don't know what I'm talking about, and just lovingly listens to me, not every week, but regularly. She just listens to me as I process through what I'm thinking. Well, this past Monday, I was at home eating lunch with my wife and three-year-old son, and I was telling Tracy about Psalm 46 and what I was learning and thinking about preaching on. And as I was explaining to her what I was thinking, I quoted from verse 10, where it says, where God comes on the scene and he speaks to the powers of this world, and he says, be still and know that I am God. And I quoted that verse, and as I said that, my son, who had up until this point been quietly eating his lunch, after hearing me say the quote, be still and know that I am God, just interrupted and looked up and said, but Daddy, you're not God. That's exactly the point. God speaks to those who are troubling his people and declares, you're not God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You're not God. Be quiet and recognize who truly is. Now, what my son said to me quite innocently but perfectly accurately is exactly what we're called to do as well. To join with God in declaring to the powers and troubles and evil and injustice in the world, stop. Be still and know that he is God, not you. To trust and know that the Lord of hosts is with us and that the powers of this world cannot and will not have the last word. Even when the nations and governments and armies, big powers in the world, as well as things much closer to home, wicked and hurtful people, even death itself, when these things keep rearing their ugly heads and make the earth around us shake, we can know that the Lord of hosts is with us. God himself is our fortress. We are on very solid ground with God as our refuge. And so I invite you this week to read Psalm 46 a few times. Read it three times this week. Even if you don't like poetry, read it. Think about it. Stand in awe and trust in the Lord of hosts, who melts the cosmic forces of evil away with his word. And I also encourage you, in the midst of world upheaval, remind yourself of God's word to those powers. Remind yourself God's word. Be still and know that he is God. He will be exalted among you, nations. He will be exalted in you, earth. God's word to the raging and foaming powers of this: be still and recognize your Lord. When you read the news and things are troubling, speak God's word to the forces of evil at work in this world. Be still and recognize your Lord. As you face the earth shaking and the mountains moving and the seas foaming in your own life, speak God's word. Be still and recognize your Lord. As you keep your eyes open to the incredible injustices and violence and hatred in this world, speak God's word. Be still and recognize your Lord. And then you and I can rest assured that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is in the midst of the trouble. He is present in the midst of his people, and he will be exalted in the earth. God has the last word. And that word to all of us who know him and trust in him, that word for all of us in the midst of all that we face, God's word to all of us is, I got you. Therefore, we need not fear. We can be glad, knowing that God has us firmly in his hands. No matter what goes on around us, no matter what happens in our nation, what happens in our world, we can know and sing, it is well. It is well with my soul. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. May you know that. Deep down, may you know that to be true. For all who bear the name of Christ, for all who turn to him in faith, the Lord of hosts is with you. The God of Jacob is your fortress. May you truly and deeply know and experience that today. Amen.